It's the MicroConf Podcast. I'm Rob Wallen. Today, we talk about if I started a SaaS in 2024, here's my B2B content strategy framework. And I realize this is going live as we enter 2025, but here's the secret. I would do the same content strategy. It hasn't changed. So this is audio taken from a YouTube video, and it has been a very successful video, and it's some really solid, strong content that I put out, well, almost a year ago now. The idea is that this strategy should help your B2B SaaS grow as quickly as possible instead of flailing, putting out random articles, and not getting the results that you want. If you want to see the full video, you can click the link in the show notes or head to microconf.com/YouTube. One quick note before we dive into the meat of this episode, MicroConf New Orleans will sell out. It's March 16th through the 18th of 2025. Tickets are going fast. Last I checked, I can't remember if we're at 60 or 65% sold out. It's somewhere in that range. If you want a ticket, don't sleep on this. Every year we have folks saying, I really want a ticket and I missed out. So you can head to microconf.com/US if you want to grab your ticket. And ticket prices will only go up the longer you wait. Every month or two, we raise ticket prices as we approach the event. So that's microconf.com/US. And with that, let's dive in to my B2B content strategy to help you get to 1 million in ARR. Even if you aren't doing content marketing, this talk should and will apply to you. Even if you're doing outbound sales and you have a sales funnel where there is no marketing per se, it's not inbound, down towards the latter two stages of the five, you need content, even if you don't think about it as content marketing. And so I'm gonna tell you what the five stages of awareness are. I'm gonna walk through how to figure out where people are approximately, and then I'm gonna talk through B2B examples of this. So even if you're not doing content marketing, you should still get something out of the talk. I want to tell you a story. 2012, 2013, Mr. Derek Reimer and I are breaking ground on this code base called, it later became Drip. At the time, it was Velvet Mail, velvetmail.com, baby. This was before ChatGPT could help me name things. So I was like, all right, Derek, you write code and stuff, and I'm going to go start the marketing engine because you're supposed to start marketing the day you start coding, which we did. And so I believe, I forget the number, but it's like $5,000, $6,000, I paid a writer to create a bunch of content because we were going to do content marketing. Again, this is 2012, 13. This is 11, 12 years ago, before I really knew what I was doing. And it was a lot of money, right? I was bootstrapping this thing. So to spend $5,000 before we'd launched, and then to launch all this content over, you know, the first 6 months it was out, and then it was basically crickets. The content marketing effort did not work. And the reason it did not work in retrospect is because I didn't have any type of plan or strategy or framework to how to prioritize what content should we do. Because if you look at the names of these things, 7 email marketing myths, a beginner's guide to email marketing, 5 things to know about email marketing, they're very general, they're very top of funnel. And in this talk, I'm gonna talk about how you would do it, you should do it differently than I did. So if we flash forward from that 2012-13 time to 2023, I was at a Tiny Seed kickoff. We had a new batch of companies, and there were a bunch of conversations going around, and a founder said, how should I grow this company? And people were like, content. And they threw out all these ideas, and he wrote down 15 different, you know, blog post ideas, basically. And when everyone walked away, he looked at me, panicked, and was like, well, what do I do first? I don't know what, but how do I prioritize any of this? And I said, you know what? We really need a framework for this. Why is there no framework? So of course, this is in London. That's the Dixon Hotel. That is the basis of this talk. And it's the basis of what I started teaching Tiny Seed companies of how to prioritize content, which is to take the five stages of customer awareness, which is a concept that's been around since the 60s, I believe, and to apply it to content marketing. But not only do that, because you may have seen that before, but then take it to a B2B thing, because oftentimes it's done B2C. And I realized that, you know, there's often prior art that I probably wasn't the first person to come up with this. And so I did go out and Google five stages of awareness applied to content marketing. And there are a handful of smatterings. A lot of it is B2C focused. But I did notice that this MicroConf talk from Malta 2 years ago actually had about 5 minutes of the similar content, but he didn't go as deep as I wanted, and he had B2C examples. And so this is Mark Thomas, he's a great guy. So with that, that's what today's talk, that frames today's talk. And as always, my talks are in three acts. The first act is, I'm gonna talk about the stages of customer awareness. Before we get going, who here knows by heart the five stages of customer awareness? Oh yeah, oh, this is amazing. Okay, my worst nightmare is I come in here and everyone raises their hand and they're like, yeah, and I already apply it to content marketing, idiot. But there were literally two hands in here. So that, at least I will teach you something today. The first something is value your relationships over everything else. Second thing is gonna be the stages. Third thing, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess the third thing is three ways to identify which stage a prospect is in. It's a little loosey-goosey, but we try. And then the last thing is look at examples, B2B examples of people and companies in our Bootstrapper community and some larger companies that do this well and go through the stages and say, ooh, this is something you should do at this stage. So with that, let's dive in. Eugene Schwartz in the 1950s, 60s said that there are five stages of customer awareness. And he was an ad mogul, like if you watch Mad Men, he was one of that type of role. And so he wrote very much about consumer awareness, selling Gillette razors or selling, you know, paper towels or something. But they apply pretty well to B2B as well. So the first stage, top down, five stages. First stage is people who are unaware. So your prospect doesn't realize they have a problem. They don't know there's a way to improve their current struggle. You can imagine this B2B unaware is actually kind of dangerous. If people are unaware they even have a problem, oftentimes you're either inventing a category or it's all outbound and it's education, right? It's like they don't know they have a problem, so they're not going to Google. They're not talking about it in Facebook groups. They're not even aware they have problems. So not only are you cold emailing, cold outreach, cold LinkedIn, but you're like, hey, did you know you have this problem? I mean, really, really hard. So we won't spend a ton of time on it, on unaware, because in B2B, you really kind of don't want to be there. So that's like an example of this. I'm going to do one example as I walk through a B2B example of, like, imagine a realtor who eventually signs up for MailChimp, right? Signs up for an email marketing platform. Well, in the unaware stage, they literally have no idea that they even need more leads. They're unaware of it. So you would have to email them or reach out and be like, did you know that you need more leads and you could get them online? Like, what an education process, right? So that's an example of unaware. Second one is problem aware. Your prospect knows they have a problem. They're unfamiliar with possible solutions. They may not completely understand the problem. So this is when they realize, oh, I need more. I have a problem. I don't have enough buyers and sellers. So how do I go about doing that? Do I go to Google? Do I ask in Facebook groups? How are other people finding it, right? They start listening to podcasts, reading books, whatever. So at least now they know they have a problem. The thing is, they're not searching for MailChimp because they don't even know what that is. In fact, they're not even searching for email marketing software because they don't know what that is. In fact, they're not even searching for email marketing because they don't know what that is. They're still at, I have a problem, but I have no idea what to do next, right? Solution aware is stage three. And I'll make all these slides available, probably post them in Slack after. This is where your prospect knows about solutions like yours, but they don't know about specific products. So this might be where they realize, oh, there is a category, marketing automation, email marketing. I kind of get that you send email to people and maybe there's software to help you do that. And then product aware, this is where they start learning. They may know of your product. They're still comparing it to the competition. They're not sure if your product is the best solution for them, right? So this is where they might be saying, oh, okay, so there's MailChimp. Well, what's the difference between MailChimp and Klaviyo? MailChimp and ActiveCampaign and Drip. And then we get to the point of most aware. This is where someone has really educated themselves on the market. They're probably close to making a purchase. Maybe they've even made a purchase, and so now they're telling their friends and other realtors on Facebook or whatever other group they're in. So those are the five stages, and I kind of gave you a B2B example as we went through it. To illustrate it yet again, I'll do a quick B2C example. So this one always happens to me. I'm often unaware that I need, say, a new dice tower for my Dungeons & Dragons game until I see the deal of a day on Amazon and I realize it's 50% off. Or buying shoes, for instance. There was an Amazon Prime deal day, or Prime Day deal. And I actually wear Asics. I have for a long time because they fit my feet. And I hadn't even thought about buying new running shoes. I bought them a couple years ago, right? But I saw Prime Deal Day and they were doing a bunch of shoes. I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And so I went off and Googled, that reminds me, I need to buy shoes. I actually didn't buy them through Amazon, but I went and Googled best running shoes. What best running shoes? What are people making these days? So this is where I become aware that I do have a problem. I'm starting to research that problem, right? And then I started realizing, you know what? Nikes and Asics probably going to be my one and two. I've always worn Asics. I wore Nikes in college. My coach was sponsored by them, so we wore them. So I was like, I want to hear today, you know, 20-something years later, what that's like. By the time I get to product aware, I'm literally looking at model numbers. I started realizing the Nike Streakfly and the Asics GT2000 were probably going to be something that applied to me. And in the end, I realized, you know what? I'm going to stick with my tried and true, my Asics. And so then what do I start Googling at that point? Buy Asics GT2000, cheapest Asics GT2000. Some people just go straight to Amazon, but most aware, I'm ready to buy. You can see the keywords and the progression in the B2C example. The whole point of all this is that this is a screenshot from WordStream. If I were to go in as a marketer, as a founder of an email marketing software package, you can type in keywords and you get this huge list. And the idea is, how do you prioritize these? How do I pick which of these I should go after? And that's where the five stages line up and the next section of the talk brings us. So much like attribution, it's not 100%. In fact, if you get to 80, 75% attribution, meaning where do all of our new customers come from, you're doing pretty well these days. It's a lot harder given that Google does not provide keywords, the keyword not provided stuff. People come from random places, there's no refers, whatever. You just kind of, you do your best. That's how finding out which stage a prospect or a group of people are in, that's how it is. It's good enough, you do the best you can. It's not 100%. There's three ways that I've seen people figure out, okay, if I have an individual I'm talking to on a sales call, or if I have kind of a cohort or a group, if you have a low touch funnel, you're not talking to individuals, you're looking at groups, there's three ways. The first way is why you should ask on your sales calls, when do you plan to make a purchase? Are you comparing us to other products? Which other products? This will tell you a lot, because think about from the top down of the Asics versus Nike point. The B2C example I just did. You can map it pretty quickly to, if I'm going to make a purchase very soon, well, I'm probably at the third, fourth stage of awareness. If I'm comparing you to MailChimp and Klaviyo, well, you're probably at the fourth or the fifth stage at this point. Or if it's, you can really start to get a feel for it. In fact, if I had a CRM these days and I was doing SaaS sales, in addition to, you know, budget and timeline, which is, I think, a common thing you put in, I would probably start including a guess at the stage that they were at last time I talked to them to figure out if they're moving along. And if they're like, oh, I'm just in preliminary research, I haven't talked to anybody else, I haven't thought about anybody else, it's like, okay, they're probably at stage two, maybe three. And you know, you might leap a stage as you go through, but the idea holds. So that's the first one. If you're doing high touch, it's asking people, even though sometimes it can feel a little, I don't know, it's a sales call, right? You kind of ask for their budget and you feel awkward asking, so salesy. This is the same type of thing, but it's really, really helpful. The second way is to look at actual keywords. You saw in my example with the Nike Asics purchase, as well as the email service realtor, that certain keywords can trigger you into a certain stage or can indicate you're at a certain stage. And this is from SEMrush. And they talk about how there are navigational, informational, commercial, and transactional. And these loosely apply. There's not five of them, but they do loosely apply. Like informational is probably a stage two, maybe stage three. Commercial investigation certainly is stage three and four. Transactional becomes stage five, right? So you can look at specific keywords like these that they listed in their article. I listed at the bottom, but navigational, informational, look at the commercial, best, top review. You will see best email service providers, best email marketing software, best electronic signature software, top 10 electronic signature software, review of XYZ signature software, comparison, compare MailChimp versus Klaviyo. They want you know, the web to do the work for them. This versus that. And then transactional is when they get right down to, and if you ever see someone searching for a coupon code for your software, which is unusual in SaaS, but you know that they are ready to buy. So purchase, buy, discount, coupon, cheap, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the second way. Again, do 100% of buyers go through this? No, they don't. Is this the best you can do? It is. Is it good enough? Probably. So navigational, informational, commercial, and transactional. The interesting thing, I didn't realize that there are a couple tools. So this is the second way. Second way is looking at keywords. You probably already know for your own business if there are certain keywords that lead to people buying, but this can get you up further up in the funnel. But But then there are two tools that do this. And I didn't realize until I started researching this that if you look at SEMrush, their dashboard, they actually have an intent. And the C is for commercial, the T is for transactional, the N is for navigational, and the I is for informational. They actually will tell you, based on the best of their ability and all their AI that's running in the background, what each keyword means. So T is going to put you deep in the funnel. I will be a little bit before that, et cetera. And so that's the third way. The other way, SimilarWeb is the other piece of software. I should have highlighted this. First, second, third, fourth. The fifth column that says intent has nav, transact, local. So it is a relatively standardized thing, which is funny that I hadn't heard of it before Googling. But so those are your three ways, right? It's you ask, you look at keywords people are coming in on, or you use SEMrush or SimilarWeb or another tool. I'm sure there are other tools that do it to find out what stage might someone be at. In a minute, I'm gonna dive into real examples of B2B SaaS companies using this content marketing framework. But if you are getting value from this talk, you should consider joining us at our next in-person MicroConf event. Not only do you get to see talks like this live in person, but you get to be in the room with more than 200 other SaaS founders who are all working on the same problems that you are, trying to grow their business. Our next event is in New Orleans from March 16th to the 18th, 2025. And our lowest priced tickets are on sale now. We just wrapped up our event in Dubrovnik. It was an amazing experience. That event sold out, and our New Orleans event will sell out as well. So if you want a ticket, you want to be in the room with 250 of your best bootstrapped SaaS founder friends, head to microconf.com/US. All right, let's get back to the talk. Third section, we're going to now talk about, we're going to take what we've looked at and we're going to apply it to B2B funnels. And originally when I wrote this talk, you should start at the bottom is what you should do. You should start at stage five, at the most aware stage, all right? Problem is if I wrote the whole next section of starting from the bottom and going up, and it was like watching Memento. If good movie, very confusing because everything's backwards. So I'm actually going to start it unaware because it just makes sense to do the progression, but you'll get the slides and you'll get to see, like, really, if you have nothing, if you have none of this, I would start at that most aware stage, creating the content examples I give there, and I would work my way backwards. So unaware, y'all are familiar with this. This is the hardest one with B2B because, again, it's just not something. It's like if someone's completely unaware that they even need email marketing, how do you even market to that? You can do high level stuff. So YouTube videos, 10 email marketing tips, email marketing full course, assumes they kind of know what email marketing is. There is Session Lab, is a European startup, and they help folks organize workshop schedules. You can see they have really high level stuff, how to use room setup styles, how to become a great workshop facilitator, online energizers for more engaging meetings. I mean, they're really going, they're about workshop agendas, and this is the next higher level up. I'm sure they have a lot of search traffic to these, but they're so high in the funnel that it's gonna take folks a long, long time to get down. That's why I say start at the bottom if you're in doubt. So really, we get to problem aware. All right, aware folks are where they have a problem. This is where, in my example earlier of your realtor looking for email marketing, might search for, how do I send bulk email? What is email marketing? How do I do email marketing? Email marketing templates, okay? So a couple examples of folks in the MicroConf community who are doing this well. Signwell is really good. The bulk of Signwell's traffic is organic, Google organic. He's great at putting out contract templates and agreements from 25,000 sales documents. This is an amazing step or stage two approach because it is when people know they have a problem and they don't know that they need electronic signature yet. But the problem they're trying to solve just now is they need a template. So he gives it away. It's a high search term and then he works them through the funnel. Again, start at the bottom. He's up that high because he, you know, has a lot of other content down below. Session Lab, again, revisiting them, workshop templates. So they do know, they have the stage one stuff I showed you already. This is more stage two. Templates, things to solve specific problems or needs for folks coming in. User list as Veed.io. The co-founder of Veed spoke at MicroConf Europe a couple years ago, and shortly thereafter they raised a kajillion dollars from a major VC fund. Coincidence? I don't know. But they do a really good job with SEO. You'll see the tools. Add image to video, add music to video, add text to video, add subtitles to video. People are aware they have a problem. They don't know that they need Veeds video editing software and have compared it to, but they don't. They type into Google, add subtitles to video, and they SEO the shit out of it, and you wind up here. So then you pull them through the funnel, probably with a freemium offering, if I were to guess. And user list. Many folks here are familiar with Benedict and Jane. What is user onboarding, the ultimate guide for SaaS companies? Again, it's something that's higher up in the funnel. People where they have a problem, they don't know how to onboard, it'll get them down there eventually. And more from user lists. All right, so that's our stage two, which is product aware. Once folks become solution aware, so you can still see it's really general stuff. It's contracts, it's blog posts, nothing specific to your product. And that's again why I say start at the bottom. Solution aware, they know about solutions, but they don't know about specific products. So this is where that realtor might search for email marketing software, best email marketing software. What is email marketing software? What's interesting is Google is still a great source for this. Often, they wind up on Capterra, G2, Reddit, and Quora. So Capterra and G2, depending on, the way to figure this out is you go into an incognito browser, search for best, whatever your category is, top, whatever your category is, and see which ranks higher, Capterra or G2 or there's the other one, SourceForge, I think is another one. Hopefully it's Capterra because frankly, they're the easiest one to work with and advertise on, but you can buy ads in Capterra and they're highly, highly qualified folks that are already kind of become, they're not, people who hit Capterra are usually at stage 3 or 4. So they're deeper in the funnel. So even if you're paying quite a bit per click on Capterra, the conversion rate can be really good if you test it out. If you search YouTube for Capterra SaaS marketing and my name, I interviewed a founder about it who is crushing it with Capterra, and he just basically opens a kimono and shows everything he's doing for free. People often wind up on Reddit and Quora as well. I personally, for like MicroConf and TinySeed, I of course have the same thing. You know, think about folks just becoming aware of entrepreneurship and then making their way down the stages. So I monitor these things. I use two tools for this. There's F5Bot and then Siphon, which I'll show in a second. These are helpful for monitoring Reddit, Hacker News, Twitter, Lobsters. Look at that. I've been using F5Bot for like 6 years, 5 years. I don't know what Lobsters is at all. But a couple times a week, 3 times a week, I get pinged with an email or in Slack, and it's like, hey, someone's talking about you or your book or MicroConf or TinySeed. Obviously, you would put your own SaaS product in there. You could pop in. You can weigh in or not, of course. But these people are usually asking, what do you think of product? They are product aware. So what is that? Third stage? Fourth stage? Yeah, 4 stage. So people who are mentioning you by name or your product by name like are pretty deep in the funnel, so engaging with them can be helpful. And I think this is Siphon, and I think Siphon must be breaking some type of TOS because I think they crawl private Slack channels, which is fascinating. Yeah, and Stack Overflow, you look at it, Indie Hackers, all this stuff. So this allows you, again, if people mention your product name. Google Alerts, I don't know for anybody else, but for me, it's useless these days. It's what I used to use, and it's these two tools now that get me into that. If they mention my name, they're product aware by definition. So now I have a stage 4 person and a conversation around my company. So examples of content in this stage. SaaS email marketing strategy, everything you need to know. User list puts this out. You can see we're getting now deeper in the funnel. It's not about onboarding, it's specifically about email marketing. Ruben does a good job here with electronic signature, because people come in, oh, I'm still trying to solve a problem. And he guides them in 3 steps through a freemium funnel of what is an electronic signature. The next step, when they click through, is how would you like to create your own? So it's an engineering as marketing. That's the next thing. Oh yeah, I guess now that I know what it is, maybe I'll create my own. And then when you, after you draw the signature, you click and it's, oh, by the way, you have this e-signature. Easy and free signatures for all of your documents. So he almost walks them through those 3 screens from stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. You know, he walks them through, and it's a decent funnel that is working for him. All right, product aware. Which I now realize Siphon and F5Bot should be in this section. Apologies for that. But product aware is when they know the name of your product. We have people searching. I've already brought this example up, right? But it's the realtor who's talking about MailChimp versus whatever. This is where you're going to think about alternative to pages and versus pages, all right? And the difference between, people think these are the same thing. your product name. Let's say I have XYZ product. MailChimp versus XYZ product, my product name, only works when I have a brand that people are searching for. If it's the first, if I'm the first month or year of my business, the odds of someone comparing me to a competitor are very low. The alternative two pages work when you are trying to piggyback on the SEO or the brand value of that competitor. So are people searching for alternative to HubSpot, Klaviyo, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp? Well, yes. So then you put those pages in your early days. You can still have the versus pages for the fifth stage when people are actually comparing you and making a purchase sale decision. Interesting thing here, I searched Google Incognito browser comparing Klaviyo and MailChimp, and these are the 2 and 3 results for that. So MailChimp ranks second and Klaviyo ranks third. I love the passive aggressive copy. MailChimp saying, while Klaviyo is laser focused on e-com, MailChimp is inclusive of all businesses. Ooh, jab. And then Klaviyo says, Klaviyo has no premium add-ons or hidden fees, unlike MailChimp, which has whole web pages about each. It's like, geez, guys, get a room. What the fuck? So, but I do think it's funny. The interesting thing is, think about how deep in the funnel this is for these two. Like, this is stage 5, 4 or 5. It can fit in both, right? Of like, oh, I now understand these, I'm comparing them, or I'm really close to buying. So these are high value leads. So they really want to rank number one. You know who ranks number one for this term? Zapier. And so it's interesting to think about the context. For Zapier, where does this search term, where is it in the funnel? Unaware? So, I mean, it's so far up the funnel, but they don't care. Zapier, HubSpot, there's some companies, they're like Honey Badger. They don't give a fuck because they just want mad traffic, right? They want huge, high value traffic terms. And it's incredible to me that they outrank MailChimp and Klaviyo, or at least when I search for this term. So stage 4 content ideas, of course, are your versus pages, if people are searching for it. User list has a ton of alternative pages because, you know, they're not far enough along that there's that many versus searches. So they do a lot of alternative two pages. And this is where case studies come into play. So stage 4 really is about versus alternative two case studies. This is where even if you are only doing outbound sales and you're only talking to prospects one-on-one, you're not doing any content marketing, these things start to become valuable to help you close a sale, right? That the content maybe isn't marketing, now it's just sales literature. And that's why I say, start at the bottom, because it'll help with both sales and marketing. Last stage is the most aware. This is when people are really approaching, making a decision. They're looking at comparisons, alternative twos, and all that. This is where you have to break the paradigm. You have to get into features and not just talk about benefits. At some point, you know, it's always benefits, not features. It's not always. It's benefits, not features when you're marketing, when someone's first finding out about you. But at a certain point, they need to go a layer deeper. The deeper into the stages they go, they need to figure out what are your actual features. I'll show an example of that in a second. Your knowledge base being decent at this point. People are looking at that thinking, do I want to buy from this company? Is their documentation good? Versus pages, I've said, long form demos. This is where you go from that 60-second demo on your homepage to having a 45-minute demo someone can watch. Now maybe it's one-on-one, but maybe it's pre-recorded. So if I'm ready to buy software, I will 100% watch a 30-minute or 45-minute demo of someone going through it, at 2x, of course. Case studies I talked about and white papers, which kind of makes me vomit in my mouth, but you get the idea. Drip actually does a good job. I didn't do any of this. They did this after I left, but Drip does a good job of showing you their features, not benefits, as you dig in. User list does a great job of this. You can see, boom, you can dig in and see exactly what they're doing. So even on their marketing site, there's features. KB can be super helpful. I love user lists, KB, with all their integrations listed. You can get a feel for the product. And then HubSpot, who's really, really good at all of this. I could have used HubSpot for every stage of this, but I wanted to get more bootstrap companies in. But HubSpot has their versus, right? It's Sales Cloud versus HubSpot Sales. As well as case studies. And I think the last one here I want to leave you with, I love what Ruben did with this on Signwell. Not something I had thought of, but I bet all of y'all get asked a lot about security and compliance. And this alone, this piece of content marketing, talk about a stage 5 piece. If you're about to buy, are you worried about compliance at SOC 2, HIPAA, GDPR, network and security system reliability data? Of course you are. Do you give do you care at all about that when you're at stage one or two? You don't. So this is where bucketing content into these stages can help you build the most appropriate stuff for the bottom of the funnel and work your way back up.